Howdy. Thanks for coming along. This is the Evening Chores Podcast, presented by Adobe Owl Ranch. We're located in the high desert of southeastern Arizona, and the goal of this podcast is to provide some insight and information regarding raising livestock and potentially gardening in the high desert environment we have here, the arid desert type environment, which doesn't get quite as dreadfully hot as, oh, say, Phoenix or the surface of the sun. I hope you enjoy it. Please listen in, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thank you. Hey, welcome back. Howdy. Fall seems like it's finally hit here at Adobe Owl Ranch, which I know is kind of funny considering we're working up toward the very end of it, but it's finally started to cool down. I mean, it's been cool, but, you know, I've come out to my truck a couple of times here in the last couple of days going off to the town job and have gotten in and seen it under 40, which is pretty chilly for Arizona, part I'm in anyway. And that means I'm going to have to start taking some new measures as far as my watering goes here and all that kind of adjustment that gets made every year. I haven't yet taken it so seriously that I have gone and set up my heat lamp and my oh boy, what's that snapping? I haven't set up the heat lamp in my well house yet. I got one spot where the had something grounding out the fence there. Pumpkin, actually, is what it was. Got something else going on here. It's a very slack line fence. Anyway, I haven't gone and gotten my heat lamp set up yet, which I do every year, because otherwise, you know, I guess I grew up in a place where, boy, when the water froze, it broke something. Now out here, didn't really, I guess knock on wood, I haven't had any issues like that where I burst any pipes. I've done a lot of damage to them on my own, but I haven't had any get burst by a cold, I guess I should say. So, who knows? Maybe this will be the year. I hope not. But if I don't put that heat lamp in my well house there, it does get to where you can wake up to no water pretty regular. I apologize for the odd noises there. I'm trying to get my fence tightened back up. But, I guess that did it. Anyhow, so I'll get that set up and I'm going to move my, not frost free, my frost less. Like, maybe that's not a better word, I don't know. My less likely to freeze water to my main set of pigs and put up my system for to turn the water off at night. I have my hogs on a pressurized, what's that? Pressurized water system. What that noise was. Wonder if it came through. Well, if somebody heard a beep just now, send me a message and let me know. Don't know what it was. Anyway, I got my hogs on it's a pressurized watering system, so I like to, at night, I've got a set of, it's the same timers I use to set the sprinklers in the summer, actually, to keep the pigs from overheating. I kind of use them in reverse in winter so that the water only comes on I think it comes on at 8 in the morning. Maybe 7. I forget. I got to find the timer. Anyway, the water turns on in the morning. And then I have what is basically a relief hose, which when the, so I get two valves. I guess this is a better way to explain it. There's a valve on the, it comes from the spigot, you'd say. So there's the main valve that turns the water from the well on and off to the pig waterers. So that one runs from, like I said, 8 in the morning to, I think, about 8 at night. I want it to get warm enough in the morning to where it isn't going to shock things. And then, same, I want it to go off. We don't usually have a freeze here unless it's actually dark. So it goes from, turns, like I said, it runs about 12 hours. Then, after the water gets turned off, 8 o'clock at night, there is another timer, timer valve, which is on I've got a Y at the low point in the water line, because I've got a lot of hoses and stuff out here. So I've got I can think of it like a T, right? So I've got a T there, and all it does is releases, when it turns on, what it's doing is allowing the pressure that's built up in the, in the line. I think I've got let's say it's 40, 60 PSI, something like that. So that pressure gets relieved via this valve in the line, which goes to an open hose. And that one stays on from 8 o'clock at night, well, after 8, I think it comes on about 8:30. It stays on from 8:30 at night to after midnight sometime. Actually, I think I just finally, the last version, I had it open until like 7:45 in the morning. And I do, I probably lose maybe a gallon of water a day, a couple of gallons, because it siphons out the hose, but I don't use very big hose. So I use, actually, I guess not on this one, but I started, so last year I wasn't using any of the airline hose, but this year I'm using a lot of the same kind of hose like you run an air tool off of, but which actually seems like it freezes less, I've noticed. I don't quite understand how that's possible, but I mean, it freezes faster, but it doesn't pop. Like a hose once in a while will pop. So that other one, it just releases the pressure and lets all of the water run out to the lowest point, which I had pretty good luck with it last year. My hope is when it does that it doesn't allow that water to stay enough in a place to where it can cause a problem. There's water, I forget how much it expands when it freezes, but it's, I forget, 20 times. You can build up a lot of, and it's probably not 20 times, so if somebody wants to fact check me, great, but the point is it expands a lot. And you can build up a lot of pressure real quick with it and blow fittings and things. So with the secondary one, it releases all that. And then, like I said, 7:30 in the morning, 7:45, it cuts off. So it allows the line to be repressurized for when the pressure from the well is allowed to return back through the valve. You know, the initial valve. And it does that cycle from now, right, you know, roughly this time of year up until probably end of March. Something like that. You know, I don't want to. It isn't really costing me much anything. I lose a little bit of water, but not very much, actually. It sounds like you'd lose a lot more than you actually do. And also, that being the driest time of year, if you can route some of that water in a direction that you would like things to have it, you know, if you've got a tree doing poorly or something, you could use that and, you know, keep some of your grass stock in better shape, or your trees or whatever, especially down here. Oh, I don't know if you could hear that. That was the owl. That's baby owls up there. I don't know if they're still there or not. I'll go and check. Anyhow, so that's how I run that. And if I could, I should put a simple diagram of that on the website. I'll have to figure out how to kind of draw it out where it makes sense, so I don't have a bunch of pictures that don't really show anything, or a video that isn't linear enough. But so that's what that is. I'm at this point, I've been living in Arizona long enough that I come out and what used to have been, I would have possibly still been wearing a short sleeve shirt. Now I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt and a vest. So human body's an amazing thing. It adapts and to whatever the environment is, to some degree at least. Oop, I heard that owl. Let's see if I can see it. So in other news, I don't see that owl. And I don't hear them, so they may have actually fledged and took off. I saw them up there a little while, a couple of weeks ago. That's namesake. Owl's in the top of the adobe. Anyway, so, let's see, what was I? Oh, I've been working on some videos. I'm bad at video editing. I do it on an iPhone, and I'm working on getting a computer again. My poor computer's so old that it can't really edit video. It takes longer than it does on an iPhone, so. Oh, there's Doug going. So I've been looking. I'd actually be curious if people out there could let me know what you use to edit your videos. Is anybody doing this on a, you know, basic iPad, or they? I was looking at laptops, and I don't know. I spend so much time on the computer at my job that it just kind of irks me to have to buy one to work on stuff here as well, but I feel like that's coming. And I guess I shouldn't complain. I've gotten out of it since last time I was at school, so as far as having one that I actually needed on my own personal time. Let's see. So yeah, I'd like that. I've been leaning toward Mac because I've got a bunch of other stuff already there, so it'd make it easier to move stuff back and forth. What with, you know, I record a lot on my iPhone, and also on a GoPro. I'm going to add a couple more of those, actually, and then probably some better cameras at some point. I'm trying to get better at this video thing, but it's time-consuming. It's hard. Well, it's not actually difficult. It's just time-consuming, so it has not been a priority here too much of the last year or so. And, let's see, I'm standing over here by my backhoe. Oh, so, I don't think I've put it on the podcast yet. But my I've been really enjoying a new social media thing, which I don't get into too often, but it's something that you can digest quickly, and it's a pretty like-minded group. So if you go to, let me look this up real quick. If you, let's see. Go over to, well, if you go to a web browser or on your phone, well, I guess it's still a browser on your phone, isn't it? Go to Time to Go Wild. So it's, well, I guess I should start at the beginning. So strike what I just said and go to https://timetogowild.com/share/, and you can either put my name, which is Noah, N-O-A-H, or you could go https://timetogowild.com/share/AdobeOwlRanch. Either one of those, and I'd enjoy if you would actually use that link, which I'll put in the show notes. I'll figure out how to do that, and because it actually gives me a little bit of a boost, and it's a good, it's an outdoors kind of social media site. You can post your hunting stories, and you can do videos up to 2 minutes long, so I don't see many videos, but there's a lot of photos, a trophy, the different game animals that people are collecting, they're, I guess harvesting is a better word than collecting, but yeah, I'd probably use harvesting. I guess they're kind of mildly synonymous. Anyway, the harvesting is a much better word. So there's a lot of different kind of game animals that you can see that people are harvesting out there. And there's a lot of, quick how-tos and people asking questions. It's a really welcoming community. So if you're sick of, whatever other social media sites you might be on, give this one a try. There's also, as an added bonus, there's not much politics that I see on it. So it's a welcome reprieve from that. A lot of outdoors kind of stuff. Hiking, outdoor photography, like podcast recommendations. So if you get on there and you enjoy this podcast, I'd love it if you'd plug this one, by the way. All that kind of outdoors type stuff. Canoeing, kayaking, skiing, all that. Anything like that. Now, as far as other stuff I've been doing, I have a freshly cleared off trailer again. I go from having a trailer full of things to not, and I have discovered. So I used my backhoe to unload this. I went out and I actually did a little bit of service job on my backhoe, which it desperately needs more. You need to do an oil change and wash it, all that kind of required maintenance. But so I got my backhoe out and got, the tires lose air over time and all that kind of required. If you have a machine, you know how it is. Well, I guess unless it's got tracks, and then even then the tracks get loose. But so I got the backhoe out and a couple of chains, which you plug for your local pawn shop. I found a 30-foot 3/8 chain for $30 here the other day, which I was pretty proud of. But that's unrelated to everything. And I used my backhoe to unload, let's see, it was 4 containers, which next time I'm going to do Well, I might do the same number of containers, but I'm gonna fill one of them at least all the way up and see how that works, because I can lift heavier things than I thought I could. Because between those four IBC totes that I'm always plugging, I mean in a like advertising sort of way, not that they get holes in them, I brought home, it was probably 3,000 pounds, I think, on the, I think that scale goes by 20 pounds. I think it said 2,980, but it was, anyway, it was basically a ton and a half. So I've got that unloaded here, sitting up, ready to be fed to my animals, which is always a good feeling. I got that over at Made Right Feeds over in Wilcox. And they're real, real helpful folks over there, so I got it no problem. Guys outside are real, real helpful. They're, you know, they treat you just like they'd treat somebody coming in buying a whole semi-load. And real, you know, they don't mind helping you get things into containers. If you're going to go and fill an IBC tote with feed at a feed store, let me know before you do it. You know, shoot me a message, or if you go to, what is it, anchor.fm, you can send, you know, if you go to this episode webpage, actually, you can send me a voice message, and I can explain what some things that you ought to do beforehand, but maybe we'll do a podcast on that later. Anyway, so I went over there and I got my ton and a half of barley, and I've still got some mix-in stuff that I'm need to start doing more with the hogs, but so everything is, I've got grain, and I'm going to start branching out from that after this next butcher batch, but I wanted to see how barley finished hogs were, so I have, like I said, a ton and a half of that, which is a good amount. If you were to do that in bags, that would be, I believe, 60 sacks of grain at 50 bags each. Somebody could check my math, but I'm about 100% sure on that. And 60 bags of grain will really put a crick in your back. And I unloaded these four IBC totes of tobacco without any major incident at all. And they're sitting on secure footings here, so there's no problems there either. And they're just sitting here waterproof, ready to be used. Now the next time, like I said, my trailer will haul more than that, and the more I can haul at a time, the cheaper it is for me. For one thing, you get your bulk discount. So over a ton, you get a discount, and then, now I can't haul 3 tons on this trailer, but eventually I'm going to get one that'll do it, because if I could haul just over 3 tons, I would get another discount. Although the next time I think I may, next time I'm over, I may just see if I can prepay for, you know, like 10 tons. Because I think that's the next discount level, and I know I'm going to use it over the course of a year. So I've got that sitting here, and have found a few ways to make it faster to get it out of these containers, so the earth auger thing works pretty good, but well, actually I think I've got a video, I don't know if it's out or not, but probably by the time this podcast hit it will be, of me using a backhoe to dump some of these out while preserving the waterproofness of them. So that's a thing to keep in mind, especially if you're somewhere where it rains a lot. Or if you have a rodent problem, I've been really proud of these at keeping rodents out, so I hope that continues, but I haven't had any rodent issues. In fact, most of them seem like they're insect-proof. Now, a couple of them I've noticed aren't, but the only things I've had in those is some flies, and they seem to immediately die when they get in there. I don't think there's don't know if it's an oxygen issue or what it is, but I have had to evacuate a little pile of flies once, but that was right in the outside. I've never noticed any kind of infestation in these. And some of it's been, I got turkey feed that's been sitting here for a while. In fact, I need to use it, but so that was a welcome thing for me here, because I don't have a lot of covered storage to be putting these things under. But I'm glad to have those out, and my freshly painted trailer and redecked trailer empty for use on other projects. The only other thing we're working on right now is I'm still working on the motor for my old square body Chevy. So when I get that together, that will actually become my feed run truck. At least for one run, I want to see what the mileage looks like on that pulling a trailer. And it would also make it somewhat easier to see out of. A lot easier to back up than this excursion. Well, it's not like I'm doing a lot of backing up, but some of it I just want to see how it does. So, natural curiosity, that's one of my more, I guess, extreme characteristics. But I think with that, I'm gonna sign off here and hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving and has a great holiday season and a Merry Christmas coming up. And from I'm down here right next to the border, I'm gonna tell you all to stay safe. Especially, if you're down here, there's some issues, but if you're up north, you guys have ice and snow and crazy weather, and I saw some disconcerting news about higher heating bills, basically, I think that was in Pennsylvania, but so if you're in those areas, I feel for you. I recommend putting in a wood stove. Especially if you're in the countryside where you can pay some local fella to give you your wood, and also it'll likely be a lot cheaper at that point as well. So look into that if you're up there, and I'll get off my soapbox on that, and I don't know, maybe I'll do evening news podcast at some point, but don't hold me to it. Never mind, that's a terrible name, because you'd never be able to find it. I don't know. We'll see. I'm probably not going to start reading the news anytime soon, though. So, that was a silly idea to start with. All right, I appreciate your time listening to this. If you would, share it out to like-minded folks who might be interested, and go ahead and if you would, go over to iTunes, or I'm on Amazon as well. I'm on a whole bunch of platforms, but those are the I guess I'm on, let's see, I don't want to get this wrong. I know I'm on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, and Anchor. So there's a lot of smaller ones too, but if you would go to one of those and give me a 5-star or equivalent rating, I'd appreciate it. Or if you have something that you think could make this better, I'd love to hear about that too. So if you can just go ahead and shoot me an email. If you go to the website, there's a contact us form there, or you can go, like I said, to anchor.fm, and you could actually send it to me in a voicemail on there. That would be just dandy. So as I said, I appreciate your time. I'm going to cut her off here and go in and continue working inside the house now. Have a great night. Bye-bye. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I appreciate you listening all the way through like this. And if you would, please share it out. You can go right to the website. You can get the URL there if you're into the RSS sort of a thing. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify, Amazon Podcast. It's all kinds of places. Oh, look at that. I just caught a pig sleeping in the feeder. They're crazy animals. It's a sleepy world here. Anyway, please go to those places, rate, subscribe, share. That helps the reach of the podcast. And, you know, it's nice to, on my end, I'll be honest, it's a little bit selfish for me, but it's nice to know that I'm not just speaking into the abyss. Somebody's actually listening. So if you want to send a comment, actually, if you want to send a comment that's more individualized, you can send it to eveningchores@gmail.com, and I'll get it that way. I appreciate you listening. Thanks, and good night.